Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. This is Dr. Every Woman, also known as Dr. Wendy Goodall McDonald, and you have entered the Gyne Project. Woohoo! This is episode 2 of the Gyne Project. And this episode is going to be installment number 1 of the Popcorn Diaries. If you missed it, episode 1 was where I talked all about what this podcast is all about. Just to give a brief summary recap, we're going to be talking about women's health, because of course I'm a gynecologist, and that's going to be the Popcorn Diaries segments. We're also going to be talking about life. Wendy City Lady Parts are going to be all about life and all the different aspects and segments of life, work, friends, family, that kind of stuff. And then there will be the relationship segment that I have entitled South Side with Me, paying homage to Barack and Michelle, South Side with You. That was a moment of silence. Love them. Anyway, but this is Popcorn Diaries episode or segment number 1. To give you guys also kind of a quick refresher as to what the Popcorn Diaries are all about. Popcorn Diaries are my kind of tribute to the book that I published last month. It's my first grown-up adult book. I published one book before that, which was a children's book. So that it was actually my second book, but my first book for grown folks. It's called It Smells Just Like Popcorn. And it is an A to Z women's health guide. All things women's health are tackled in It Smells Just Like Popcorn. And more than just women's health. I mean, I talk about, everything from water intake to, anything. Your eyeballs, definitely the vagina. I'm going to try to put a little reverb on vagina because that just makes it that much better. But, obviously as a gynecologist, we can deal with a lot of things, women's health, but there's also, women come to me from all walks of life and we talk about all aspects of life. So we're not going to just pigeonhole this thing. So, Popcorn Diaries, this episode is going to be the first of a 5-part series dealing with the 5 senses. Our 5 senses are smell, and that'll be this episode, vision or sight, taste, I know you guys can't wait for that one, hearing, what does it sound like? That's crazy, and touch. So those are the 5 senses, and we're going to have 5 segments of the Popcorn Diaries, and there'll be more Popcorn Diaries episodes too, but we're going to start off with a 5-part series. And today's episode is all about the sense of smell. We know that smell is a thing. It's a thing, yep, and it's one of the main things that people come to talk to and see me about. Smell and itch, those are my main problems, or irritation. There are other problems too, but those are the main ones with
the vagina.
I love that. Smell. So I want to tackle some kind of myths, but also some truths and get us into a better place for our general health. What is it supposed to smell like? What is
the vagina?
Oh, that might be the last one, but the point stands. What is it supposed to smell like? My mother saw the title of my book. She saw the book cover, and she just immediately started shaking her head like, nope. What does that mean? What does that mean, Wendy? I mean, it's not supposed to smell like anything. I mean, it smells like popcorn. What are we talking about? It's not supposed to smell like anything. And I'm thinking, so we just have like odorless, smellless, vaginas out here. I mean, it's literally like nothing. Like it's just absent. I remember these Febreze commercials. They're still out here being nose blind. Mama's nose blind. I'm sorry. Everybody's got some sort of scent. Isn't that the whole thing about pheromones too? I mean, pheromones, you don't really, it's not like an odor necessarily, but everybody has a scent. Everybody has something. And so I like to believe that, if you get fresh out of the shower and you're so, smell like clean, whatever your clean smells like, Irish Spring, and then you go smell your underwear that you just took off, that's probably what you smell like. It's not that it's funky or foul, but there is usually some sort of scent. I, as a gynecologist, I'm a little nose blind. People will say like, oh, my feet stink. And I'm like, they do. I didn't really notice because I smell feet all day. And I'm not one who is like, ugh, her vagina. But I do have the rare occasion where I go to do a pap smear and I'm like, hey, have you noticed anything odor-wise? Because I notice it, but maybe she doesn't.
Hashtag nose blind.
Sometimes it's a problem. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the young lady, or not so young lady, just that's just her scent. But sometimes there is kind of a infection or something that's going on that she's just unaware of. So, you know, it's not that it's supposed to smell like nothing, but it shouldn't have a foul odor. It shouldn't have a pungent odor. You shouldn't be sitting here saying, like, what is that? And meanwhile, it's you, you know? If you notice that, where, man, all of a sudden I smell something and it is not my normal scent, that's worth, you know, some questions and maybe even some investigation. So what are signs of problems? You know, pungent, foul odor, fishy smell, urine smell. Sometimes women have the smell of urine. I mean, you know, especially around some of my older ladies, that's the smell. It's like old dried urine. They've been leaking urine. They didn't really notice it. And that's, you know, that's what they smell. You know, sometimes it's kind of a, you know, the worst smell is when it's like something rotten. Occasionally that's a retained tampon. That means somebody put their tampon in and either forgot to take it out or thought they took it out. Or maybe this is what I think happens a lot of times, because ladies are not like crazy out here most of the time. Put in a tampon and then they forget to take the one out and they put another one in. So they take the second one out, but the first one was still in there. So, you know, sometimes days, sometimes weeks go by. You remember back in the day where we thought like if you kept your tampon in for longer than 8 hours, you'd get toxic shock syndrome. It's still a thing. Don't go leaving tampons in forever. But I've also seen women who've had them in for way longer than they should and they didn't get toxic shock, you know. Still don't do that, but I'm just saying it's not like you're going to die in most cases. But then I go to take it out and it'll make your eyes water. It's real. It's really real when that happens. But, you know, the point is, not to get so graphic. I mean, I'm a gynecologist. It's going to get a little graphic, right? But the point is, if you notice a smell that's not like your normal, and especially if it's foul or pungent, it's worth, you know, an investigation of sorts. This is a good point or a good moment for a public service announcement. Your vagina is not a never-ending space. It is not an never-ending abyss. There is a top to it. There is an end to it. It's like a sock. At the end of the sock is either the cervix, or if you've had a hysterectomy, the top of the vagina that's closed up. Why am I bringing that up right now? Because women come to me thinking, I think I left a tampon in. Usually the women who think they left a tampon in did not. I often find retained tampons in women who forgot or didn't know the tampon was there. But the women who think they left a tampon in most of the time don't have a tampon in. But how can she know that before she sees me? Put your finger in there. Don't be afraid. It's yours. Wash your hands. Okay. Wash your hands. Put your finger in there to the point where you can touch the cervix. If you don't feel anything, feel all around, then there's no tampon in there. Take your finger out and wash your hands again. This is another good PSA moment. Just because it's yours and your vagina and all that doesn't mean you can touch it and then touch other things. If you want to show me something as a patient and you want me to see a certain area you're concerned about, you touch down there. First of all, you don't have to. You can tell me where to look. But if you do, wash your hands before you go touching doorknobs and pens and other people's stuff. It's unsanitary. That's all I'm saying. If there's a lot of bacteria down there, if you want to touch down there, wash your hands before and after. Okay? That's just, you know, general rule of thumb. You're welcome. So back, what were we even talking about? Lord, I got distracted. Oh, so retained tampons. If you can put your finger in there and just feel around and you can touch the top of the vagina, you likely do not have a retained tampon. So, you know, rest easily. You can always come in and get me, you know, I'll check you out, but I just want to, you know, help you solve this problem in most scenarios. And people do have varying lengths of their vagina. Some people's vaginas are extremely long and they can't touch the top of their cervix, and others are shorter and they, could, you know, easily. So it really depends on the person. What else? What else do I want to cover here? Okay, so that's, you know, if there's a problem, come get checked out. What kind of problems could there be? Retained tampons, bacterial vaginosis is a common one. People can have bacterial overgrowth of the vagina, and that can cause a pretty pungent and unpleasant odor. Often the fish smell that people talk about is bacterial vaginosis, and that's an overgrowth of bacteria that are often normally found in the vagina. So they're not necessarily sexually transmitted diseases. It's often bacteria that should be there, but some of it's overgrown, and that causes odor. What's a good analogy? An ecosystem, a forest, and there's certain types of plants that are kept in check by certain types of, you know, I don't know, amphibian You know, I don't know if frogs eat plants. Let's go with that. And if they do, they keep these plants in check. Well, what if the frogs get wiped out by some terrible virus? Well, now the plants overgrow and they can strangulate other plants and make other plants, you know, not be how they should and throw off the balance. Well, if certain bacteria are too low, specifically lactobacillus, which is our good bacteria, that's too low, then some other bacteria can overgrow and cause odor and cause irritation. That's the same thing. Same thing happens with yeast. Yeast can overgrow in that same scenario and cause itching, irritation, a lot of discharge. So those are a couple of things to keep in mind. How do we keep our bacteria nice and balanced? Well, there's a few ways. One is to try to eat a nice, healthy, balanced diet. You really don't want to eat a whole lot of sugar. If you're a sugar fanatic, then you probably are more prone to yeast or bacterial overgrowth, even without being diabetic. Everybody thinks they're diabetic, you know, when they have recurrent yeast infections. But, you know, you could just have a pH change, a shift that occurs with eating too much sugar. So lay off the sugar or bring it down a touch if you find yourself having recurrent, you know, odorous vaginas. Probiotics are good. Some people like kombucha. Some people like to take pill probiotics. There's only a couple of bacteria that are known to translate into better vaginal health. You know, think about you eat something, specifically a pill or a bacteria. It goes into your GI system. It goes into your stomach, into your intestines, and then you poop it out. It comes out of your bowels and your intestines and into your rectum, and you have a bowel movement. So when exactly did that bacteria get into your vagina? You know, that's a thing. It's like, well, how does this actually happen? And so some think that that bacteria can come from the rectal area to the vaginal area. Some people say that there's a small amount that goes through the blood. Who knows? We really don't understand it completely. But we know that there are certain types of bacteria that if you actually take them orally, they do result in a better vaginal, you know, bacterial composition. I'm not even going to try to pronounce these two types of bacteria. I'm not even going to try. But I'll tell you, if you go to my blog, the gynecoblogic, if you actually type in www.gynecoblogic.com, and then if you search the word smell, there's a really good article there. There's a lot of articles, but there's specifically a really good one about smell that talks about the different types of bacteria. What is it called? I might be able to find it right now. Let's just see if I can pull it up without causing too much delay in this here podcast discussion. I'm going to try to pull it up while we're talking. But that's, you know, a good place to go to try to get that information. So probiotics. And then so some people say they want to, you know, what if I eat more yogurt, doc? You know, yogurt is plus minus. The data, the actual studies are plus minus on yogurt helping, you know, keep your vagina in better health. Yogurt is good for your GI system, especially the Activias and stuff like that. Not so much the really sweet, delicious yogurts. Those are just more like dessert. What's that smell? This is the gynecologic article. If you type in smell in the search box, how to control odor down there. And that gives you the two types of bacteria and the products that have that bacteria in it. By the way, I have no affiliation, nor does gynecologic, with any products. I don't endorse any products except the ones that I think work, but they don't pay me. I think I do have a couple of Amazon affiliate links in the blog, which usually say Amazon affiliate links, but it's not like I don't work for any of these companies. So if I tell you something is good, it's because I think it's good. And if I happen to get a couple of cents because you order it, then so be it. So back to yogurt though. You know, like I said, yogurt's plus minus. I'm not going to tell anyone to not take yogurt or eat yogurt every day, but I also don't think you need to, you know, down a tub of yogurt. And that's going to keep your vagina in better health. Same is true for putting yogurt in your vagina. I'm not a huge fan of that. First of all, it's messy. And second of all, again, data. I need you to show me studies that say that you've done this. 100 women did it, 100 women didn't. And at the end, the 100 women who did had a statistically significantly decreased amount of bacterial infections. And that data is not available at this point. So if somebody finds it, let me know. But at this point, I'm not going to tell you something that's like, my sister's cousin told me. No, data is what I use. And that's why you should be listening to me or following me, because I try to stay evidence-based in everything I'm going to tell you. So again, putting yogurt in the vagina, do it if you want to, but I'm not a big fan. What else? So yogurt, probiotics. You know, sex by itself can increase one's risk for developing bacterial vaginosis. So we're talking about, you know, with or without condoms. It's not like, again, an STD, But a person can just be, you know, more prone to have a bacterial overgrowth, or, you know, the bacteria be thrown off by having intercourse. And there's very, very limited data that suggests that a person, like a man, can give a woman bacterial vaginosis. Again, not STD necessarily related, but that, you know, treating, what the data said was that, and it was like a really small study, was that treating the significant other with the same antibiotics as the woman decreased her recurrence rate. But then other studies did not demonstrate that change. So, you know, take that for what you will. I'm just saying it's not impossible that he's giving it to her, but it's also, you know, not likely. But sex itself can also throw off the bacterial flora. So take home points here. I think that, you know, one can, you know, just be aware of their scent. If you notice a change, something that's different, something that doesn't smell right, maybe see if your period's coming, wait till that comes and goes, because that pH of the vagina changes right before and within the period, and that can also change the bacterial composition and maybe cause some odor. But generally that can go away after the period, assuming it's not an infection. So, you know, sometimes you have to kind of ride that out. And then coming to see your doctor, if you really think there's something off, then we can check and see if there's bacterial vaginosis or if there is, you know, anything stuck up in there, or any other infections that can be, you know, cause odor. I always like to throw in my little home remedies, outside of the probiotics I mentioned, but I'm really a huge fan these days of boric acid suppositories. Now I have to take a moment and tell you that boric acid suppositories are, first of all, boric acid will kill you. You will die if you take it orally. Boric acid is used to kill insects. It can be used to kill mice. I love animals, by the way, human rights, hashtag. Or animal rights, sorry. Hashtag animal rights. I do support animals, but not ones living in my house if I didn't pay for them. But boric acid, if you have it in a pill form that you put in the vagina, not in your mouth, do not take boric acid orally, you will die. I need to put that one on reverb. But if you put it in the vagina, it can often reset your pH. It reacidifies the vagina. Douching. Ooh, let's take a moment here. Do not douche. Douching is a type of thing that will flush out all of the bacteria and leave you with, you know, your vagina with big question marks in there. It doesn't know what to do. And you're more likely to develop infections. Those infections place you at higher susceptibility for STDs because of the kind of susceptibility that you're left with because of the inflammation that may be left if you're having infections. So do not douche. Please do not douche. But these suppositories just reacidify the vagina. They don't flush out anything. They just put the pH back where it should be. And so sometimes if you feel yourself just in, you know, becoming more irritated or you do develop an odor, you can use them for like, you know, 7 to 14 nights in a row. Kind of gets messy there too. Or you can just like put one in the vagina, you know, overnight when you start to feel a little off. And oftentimes it'll just kind of like snap you back. So I really like those. You can buy them commercially. I get mine on Amazon. You can also get a prescription to get them at a compounding pharmacy. I don't know how insurance treats those, so don't quote me on that, but I know you can just buy them too, boric acid suppositories. But it is really important to not take them orally, to not keep them around children or pets, because everybody will die, okay? Don't do that. So boric acid is another home remedy. And you know, one other thing I want to mention when it comes to smell. I'm not a huge Brazilian fan. I mean, I like Brazil, you know, love all my people. But Brazilian waxes and stuff where you like remove all the hair. I had a patient tell me once, like, he likes it when I do Brazilians. He doesn't like hair. What does he have to do with your hair? But you know what? I'm not going to judge people. I'm not going to do that. But when she said that, I was like, it's not that you don't like hair. He doesn't like hair. Anyway, I care less. But, you know, I do think it's important if you find yourself having just like a lot of smell or odor, you may need to just trim or shave down there. I don't like, you know, shaving with razors either. As an African-American woman, hair bumps are a thing. And that's just because of course hair. But you know, if you can use an electric shaver and just shave the actual hair down, you know, you can leave the actual cuticle or the hair itself above the skin. So you almost have stubble, but you remove the length, because the length of hair sometimes can also hold odor. So I have people, especially some of my older ladies, who are like, I just smell. Like, you might need to just trim it up every now and then, my sister. You know, I don't think you need to, you know, feel bad about womanscaping periodically and just kind of shedding that hair that's holding that odor. And if it, you know, it's a Brazilian for you, no judgment, do your thing. You know, I just don't like pain like that. So I'm going to just I'm gonna pass on the Brazilian. But I'm gonna go to Brazil one day because it sounds like a great place to go. You know, lots of fun. So what else? I think I will end this podcast by mentioning a few, you know, other just random things like stainless steel bars. You know how if you cut onions or garlic, you can put your hands on the stainless steel sink faucet and that should bring the odor down. They also sell stainless steel like bars. They look like bars of soap. And you're just supposed to rub that in places around your body to try to, in the shower, to try to deodorize. It's another more kind of natural remedy to odor. It might help. That's, again, assuming that it's external. And I'm not even, this is a random one too, you know, try this at your own risk. But occasionally, I think it's good to take a cotton ball and soak it in like alcohol or peroxide. And rub it externally too, especially in areas that you find have more of like a body odor. It's not the vagina necessarily that smells. It's almost like how your underarms start to smell if you don't put on deodorant. It's like that. And it's bacteria that live there. So if you just put like on the external, maybe the crevices of the groin, a little bit of alcohol after a shower, that will also bring odor down when it's like just like hot outside and that kind of body odor that you get. I've heard of people who use deodorant down there for that exact reason. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of deodorant, especially with aluminum. I'm not going to, you know, get on record by saying that I think aluminum causes X, Y, and Z, but there are some questions of aluminum safety, and I don't want to discount them. So I use it, you know, especially on funky days. I'm going to put some, you know, deodorant under my arms and maybe a couple other places, but I don't like just putting deodorant all over the place. My kids, my oldest son, who does need deodorant because he's funky sometimes, we use aluminum-free deodorant for him because he's a kid, and I don't want to, you know, increase his exposure earlier than we need to. So that's that for the, you know, deodorizing the external. The internal, you know, check out the scene, you know, maybe wait it out and see if it's something that you really think is a problem, but you know, don't be afraid to come in and see your doc. That's why we're here. Happy to see you. Won't judge the smell. Matter of fact, half the time, like I said, I don't even smell it, but sometimes it, you know, I might need to, you know, help you out in that arena. So I got you, you know, want you to be comfortable. So I think that'll do it. You know, I try to keep these podcasts short and sweet. I don't have a lot of time. My kids will be chasing me, finding me eventually. So I can't do the hours at this point. I don't know if I ever will, but hopefully this will be enough for you to learn something. I look forward to the next episode. What should we do next? I think we'll do the sense of sight. We'll do what it looks like next. And it'll kind of talk about like external appearances and what's normal, but then also, you know, when lesions arise and what different lesions look like and what they could be. So we'll talk about the Popcorn Diaries episode 2, also known as, you know, the Gyne Project episode 3 will be the site episode. So tune in for that. Subscribe. Feedback, please, you know, get on wherever you find me, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Dr. Every Woman or Wendy Goodall McDonald or Gynecoblogic. Find me. I'm on social media way too much. So I will see your comments and I look forward to hearing what you have to say. Enjoy. Have a great day.